We read this passage in our family devotions, I think Thursday night last week, and I thought it would be a good one to come back and revisit for us tonight. Acts chapter 27. How many of y'all enjoy storms? About half. I love storms. I enjoy storms. I enjoy watching storms. I enjoy learning the history of some storms. I enjoyed Hurricane Ivan down in Pensacola. I enjoyed it. There was a time, I remember, when I was younger, back when I was still living at home with my parents, my dad and I were watching the Weather Channel, and we were expecting some storms to come through the area, and the alert came at the bottom of the screen. Tornado warning has just been issued for Chesapeake. And they said that they had spotted a funnel cloud in Suffolk, which was the next town to the west of us, and the storm was moving due east. And me and my dad both, our eyes got big, we looked at each other, and we took off running. Not to a safe place in the house, to the backyard. And we were looking west, trying to find where this tornado is. Never could find it, but we were enjoying looking for it. I enjoy storms. But there are some times that storms can make even the biggest enthusiast a little bit nervous. There was another time, when I was younger, we were visiting some friends up in Delaware. And to get back home, we had to cross the Chesapeake Bay. Now, there's a bridge that crosses the Chesapeake Bay that is 17 and a half miles long. And there's a couple of tunnels mixed in there also. And we were growing up, that bridge was two lanes. One lane going north, one lane going south. And we were in the middle of that bridge, and a storm rolled up across the bay. And when you only got one lane, and there's traffic coming directly at you, and the winds start blowing, it can get a little scary. There was another time that we were flying back home from a vacation, and we had stopped in St. Louis. And while we were there during a layover, some thunderstorms came through. And it delayed us for a little while, and they finally let us get on the plane to go. We were flying east, and those storms were also heading east, so we were meeting those storms. And I remember the pilot coming across the intercom saying something like, "Hey, remember those storms that delayed us in St. Louis? Well, we're approaching them. They're too tall for us to go over, and we don't have enough fuel to go around them, so our only option is to go through them." And there was quite a bit of turbulence on that plane, and it was kind of interesting looking out the window and seeing lightning flashing all around us. It was really cool. But it can be a little bit nerve-wracking. At some point, we're all going to face storms, whether they're going to be physical storms, they could be emotional storms, they could be spiritual storms, but the fact of the matter is, storms are coming. But we can be assured of the fact that whatever we face in life, whatever comes our way, we can have somewhere that we can turn to, we can have someone that we can trust in. But the question is, how are we going to react when those storms come? We're in Acts chapter 27. Just for introduction, we're going to read two verses, and then we'll pray, and then we'll jump in. Acts 27, we'll start reading in verse 13. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." We're going to look at this passage, see some truths from it, and we've titled this message today, "Storm is Coming." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you for the music that we've been able to sing. Thank you for the good spirit that we've had here. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with the rest of the time here. Lord, be with me as I speak. Pray that you would use the Holy Spirit to speak through me. And Lord, I pray that what we'll be able to see from this passage tonight will be something that we can take hold of, truths that we can apply to our hearts and draw closer to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as the storms come, that we can rely on you. In Jesus' name, amen. When Andrew was very little, we used to take him to a story time at our local library. And one of the books that I remember them reading to him was entitled, well, we just call the message, "Storm is Coming." And in this book, there was a farmer. And the farmer's listening to the radio, and he hears on the radio that there's a storm coming, and it's supposed to be a bad one. So the farmer tells his dog, hey, go round up all the animals, get them into the barn, because storm is coming. Well, the dog takes off running, and he's whipping all the animals up into a frenzy. He's going to the gooses. Hey, you've got to get to the gooses, to the geese. Hey, you've got to get to the barn. The storm is coming. And going to the cows. Hey, go to the barn. The storm is coming. And he finally gets all the animals. They all get into the barn. And when they get there, they start having a discussion. They're discussing why exactly they're in the barn and who exactly Storm is. We may not know exactly what kind of storms are coming. We may not know what they're going to look like, how intense they're going to be. But we do know that at some point in our lives, we're going to face a storm. So let's look at this account in the book of Acts and the options for where it is that we can put our trust to bring us through these storms. So first off, we're going to look at the men in the storm, the sailors, the people on the boat. So number one, in the storm, the men trusted in themselves. They didn't have a higher power, they didn't have a God that they can look to, so all they could do was trust in me. They trusted in themselves. And there's a couple of different areas that they could look at themselves and trust in. First, they trusted in their leadership. Chapter 27, verse number 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Paul tried to convince the people on this ship, hey, we're about to face a storm, it's going to be pretty bad, and there's going to be some damage. We need to stay where we're at, we need to stay put. This is our best option right here. But the people there, they didn't want to listen to Paul. Who was Paul? Paul's some preacher. He's never been a captain of a ship. He doesn't know anything about sailing through here. He's just a preacher. He's a prisoner. And there's no need to listen to him. So instead, they trusted in their leadership. Verse 11 says, Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So surely, someone who has been a captain, someone who has led expeditions, someone who has actually piloted a ship, they will know better than some prisoner. So they trusted in their leadership. They also trusted in their experiences. Verse number 12, very next verse says, Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. So they decided that, you know, based on what they've known, in previous times that they've been out on the sea sailing, they know that Lycia, the place that they had been before, was not the best place to spend an extended amount of time in. So instead, they wanted to get to Phoenix. That was a much better place for them to spend. It would be a lot safer for them to be there than to stay where they were near Lycia. So they trusted in their leadership and experiences. They also trusted in their own knowledge. Jumping down a little bit to verse number 18. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So Euroclydon was a known phenomenon that happened. What it was a northeasterly wind that would blow across the Mediterranean. And they knew that it was a frequent occurrence. It happened regularly. Some people, as I was reading, said that this could have also been the same kind of wind that interrupted Jonah's journey. Did not realize until studying for this that Tarshish, where he was trying to get to, a lot of people think is in modern-day Spain. So he was literally trying to get as far away as he could from Nineveh. But this was something that was trackable. The sailors knew what Euroclydon was. They knew when it was coming. They knew which direction the wind was going to blow. They knew what this was. So in order for them to get themselves through the storm, they started pitching whatever they could. Anything that wasn't bolted down to the ship, they got rid of. At one point, they're talking about throwing the prisoners out. Anything they could do to lighten the ship, to make it easier to get through the wind, to get through the waves, to get through the heavy surf, they were trying to do whatever they could in their own power to get through the storm. So where did that trust get them? Let's look at verse number 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, so no small tempest means a big tempest, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So all that trust in themselves, the trust in their leadership, the trust in their experiences, the trust in their knowledge, all of that trust left them completely hopeless. There was no way that they could get themselves through this storm. So let's think about us. What kind of storm are we facing? What kind of storm comes up in our lives? It may not be something like this, but it could be something like a health issue. It could be something like a financial issue. Trying to get through the storm on our own is like telling God, you know, I don't need you. You know, I can do this on my own. You can worry about somebody else. I can take care of myself. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do what we can to try to assist God. But we need to come to Him first. A lot of times we use God as like a last resort. And God is there to help us, but He wants us to come to Him first. He wants us to come and ask Him for help, for Him to give guidance to us instead of, well, He's tried everything else, and here He comes to me now. Now, go to God first. I'm not saying if you get sick, you shouldn't go to the doctor. You should go to the doctor. You should take medicine. I'm not saying that if you have financial problems that you shouldn't go out and try to find a second job or try to cut your spending so that you can make ends meet. But don't use God as a fail-safe. You know, go to God with any issues that you have. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to bring our petitions directly to Him so that He can bring us through these storms. And that's where Paul's trust was. So the men on the ship, they trusted in themselves. Number two, in the storm, Paul trusted in the Savior. Now, if you look at Paul, during this whole time, while the men are doing what they can to get through the storm, they're throwing stuff overboard, Paul's just sitting there. He's not doing anything. Now, how could Paul be so calm at a time like this? Yeah, there's frenzy, people frantically doing what they can on board the ship, and Paul's just sitting there. He tried to tell them to stay where they were, but they didn't listen to him. So now he's just riding on the boat. How could Paul be so calm during the storm? Well, first off, Paul was calm, it says, for many days. First off, because of his received pledge. Jump back a little bit, a couple pages over, chapter 23. Paul was calm because of his received pledge. In chapter 23, this is after Paul had been arrested. He had already been in trial. He was facing a few more legal trials. And in the middle of all of this, you get to Acts 23, verse number 11. It says, in the night following, the Lord stood by him. It wasn't some man. It wasn't his lawyer. The Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So Paul was calm because of his received pledge. Paul was told, hey, you've preached in Jerusalem. You've been faithful in Jerusalem. You're going to preach in Rome also. To this point, had Paul been to Rome? He had not been to Rome. So Paul knew, okay, I was told to go to, I would go to Rome. I haven't been to Rome yet. God keeps His promises. I'm going to Rome. And he didn't necessarily know how he was going to get to Rome. He didn't know if it was going to be on this boat, or if it was going to be on another boat, or if he'd be walking to Rome. But he knew he was going to Rome because God had told him and he knew that God would keep his promises. So he was calm because of the promise that God had given to him. He was confident, letter B, he was confident in his Redeemer's promise. God had promised him, hey, you're going to bear witness of me in Rome. And Paul had confidence in that. And we see that back in chapter 27 while he's talking to the men on the ship. Chapter 27, verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Taking it into our language, Paul said, I told you so. Verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So Paul was confident in the promise that he received from God. God had proven himself to be true time and time again, and Paul had no reason to doubt him now. And he told them, just flatly, he said, hey, God told me I was going to Caesar. So if you want to survive this storm, you're going to need to stay here with me because nothing is going to happen to me. I believe what God has told me. So Paul was confident in that. And then thirdly, Paul captured the respect of the people. Looking down at verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. So he's reminding them, hey, if y'all want to survive, y'all got to stay in the boat with me. I am the one that is going to be safe, so no one leaves the ship if you want to survive. And verse 32 says, the soldiers cut off the ropes of a boat and let her fall off. So they'd been on this boat for 2 weeks now. 2 weeks going through this storm. And by this time, the soldiers on board had begun to trust Paul. They said, I think he does know what he's talking about. He's got somebody that is obviously keeping him calm, that he's been told many promises that his God has lived up to. I need to stay with him. Everything had played out exactly how Paul said it would. I need to stay with him. So the men on the boat, at first they trusted in themselves, but as Paul demonstrated his trust in the Savior, they were starting to come around to him. So now what about us? We come down to this. We see how the men did. We see how Paul did. So for us, when we face storms, number three, in the storm, we should trust in the stabilizers. I love this. This is one of my favorite things in Scripture. A verse that is a big help to me. It's a huge blessing. We skipped over it at first. It's right in the middle of the story, verse number 17. Look at verse 17. This is a huge blessing. I don't want you to miss this. This is great. Verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. That's a blessing, isn't it? Probably needs more context to that, because that just seems like nothing. What we see in verse 17 is a procedure that they call frapping. And this is according to Falconer's Marine Dictionary. To frap a ship is to pass 4 or 5 turns of a large cable-laid rope round the hull or frame of a ship to support her in a great storm, or otherwise when it is apprehended that she is not strong enough to resist the violent efforts of the sea. So basically, they would take these huge cables or ropes or chains, anything they could, to bind the ship together so that as it faced the storms, as it faced the waves and the wind, that it wouldn't fall apart. The Greek word, which I know very little about Greek, I took a year of Greek in college, and I think I've forgotten more than I remember now. But I know how to look stuff up in a concordance, so I got that going for me. The Greek word is boethia. And any time that that word is used, that is the only definition for it. There's no alternate definition to mean something else. This is the only thing that it ever refers to. It refers to the wrapping of something to bind it up. And this word is used twice in the New Testament. It is used here in Acts 27, and it's used one other place. I've always heard that if you're going to do a word study, if you're going to study Scripture, that the best thing to compare Scripture to is Scripture. So let's look at that other place that we find this word. And we'll finish up here, Hebrews chapter 4. So keeping in mind what we said that word meant. Undergirding, wrapping strong materials around there to keep that item from breaking apart. Now in Hebrews chapter 4, let's start reading in verse 14. When we get to Hebrews 4, the author of Hebrews, many believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but the author is telling the Hebrew believers that Christ is better than everything. We saw this as we studied the book of Hebrews. Christ is better than the angels. Christ is better than Abraham. Christ is better than the sacrificial system. He's about getting ready to tell them that he's better than the high priest. And as he gets to this point, he starts talking about our great high priest. Let's start reading verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he's talking about Jesus coming down and becoming our high priest, becoming the one to be the mediator, our representative before God the Father. So the one to go between us. And then verse 16 is where we find our word. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our word is right there, boethia, to undergird by wrapping around. So let's rearrange some of the phrases of this verse to kind of help out a little bit. In our time of need, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. So comparing the two passages together, when we have a storm, when we face a need that we can't do on our own, and we come to God and say, God, I can't do it. I can't get through this on my own. I need you to help me. Then God will be there with his grace and his mercy. And he'll be there to wrap us up, to keep us from falling apart, to keep us going, to keep us on the right path, to get us through the storm. So where's your trust? Is your trust in yourself? Is your trust in your experience and your knowledge? Or is your trust in the stabilizing arms of our Savior that can bind us up and can bring us through the storm? Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you again for tonight. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you what it means to me. And Lord, I pray that I've done it justice tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would get this into the hearts of your people. And that it would be something that they could hold on to. And Lord, if we ever come to a place where we can't make it on our own, the storms are just too large, too violent, and there's just no way we can get through it. Lord, help us to put our trust in you. And Lord, we pray that you would extend your grace and your mercy to undergird our lives, to wrap us up, and to bring us safely home. Lord, thank you again for tonight. I pray that you would again be with those on the missions trip, that you would give them safety and bring them back home. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Mr. Joe to come to the piano. Your head bowed and eyes closed still.